In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
For Inside Carolina, this is Taylor Viplis, and as always, I'm joined by Tar Heel football letterman and current radio analyst Deems May. Deems, thanks for your time today. Carolina, they put a halt to a three-game losing streak with a big win in Atlanta against Georgia Tech. What were your biggest overall takeaways from Saturday's game?
Well, number one, obviously, was a must win that was gotten. So that's got to be it. With the scenario of three games, a three-game losing streak, and then having the bye week coming up and knowing that you're playing, you know, the worst team in the ACC by record and stats, you just had to find a way to win. And it wasn't pretty for sure. There are things that I'm sure we'll discuss that are concerning, but overall, to come away with a win is number one, no matter what, because, you know, the history has always been bad down there. But giving them life, you know, in the second half was tough. But number one for sure is finding a way to win and getting to the bye week 3-3.
Yeah, I know people will say Georgia Tech made a late run, but it never really felt like that to me. Carolina, they had a sizable talent advantage. They are way ahead of where this Georgia Tech team wants to be in terms of two new staffs implementing their new schemes. And Carolina really controlled this game from start to finish.
Yeah, well, you and I are different. You must be a half full guy, because I didn't feel that way at all. I've watched too many times where we've had a chance to really put our foot on the throat, and then the tide gets turned and we give a team without much reason of being in the game a reason to be there, and somehow, you know, they end up beating you. And I don't know if I've been doing this for, you know, a lot longer than you have, and I've seen a lot of losses that should have been wins. So, no, I didn't feel that way. I felt that, you know, defensively we relaxed and we gave up. You know, we got beat 22-21 in the second half, and it is what it is. I don't care who it was scored on or what, but that game in a couple of years with solid recruiting, with a mindset of we're going to put teams away, that team from and next year, the year after, and going forward during Coach Brown's tenure with solid depth will be over by halftime. And that game should have been over by halftime. But, again, big picture, we got the win. But in another year or two, that you play a team that less talented and struggling that much, that game will be over at halftime. And we didn't put them away, and we gave them a little life, and the crowd got in it, and that was a bad scenario. But again, we responded on third down and fourth down, and we responded with a quarterback that's just playing years above his age.
I think Carolina, they had the chance to put this game away and get some of these starters out, but I guess from a glass half full approach, you know, this first game they haven't trailed in the fourth quarter, and I think the biggest reason why I felt like Carolina always controlled this game is just because of Sam Howell. And Sam Howell has been the biggest reason for UNC's turnaround this year. The quarterback play is night and day compared to last year. You couldn't have asked for a better start from a true freshman. You could put his stats up there really with any other quarterback in the conference. 376 passing yards this past week. I think you're starting to see that Carolina can win just about any game, and they expect to win just about any game when they get Sam Howell kind of performing at this level.
Yeah, I tell you, he leads the ACC in passing yards and touchdowns, and that's with the guy that many had already given the Heisman. And so he's outplaying, you know, Trevor Lawrence, and he outplayed him in Chapel Hill. And but, you know, the main thing is the record, and he's 3-3, and Lawrence is, I don't know, 4-5-0, whatever it is. But man, I tell you, the guy's a baller. He's a flatliner. Nothing really bothers him. His demeanor doesn't change. I've seen quarterbacks in the past that if they had had 100 yards worth of drops in the first half like he did, would have just pitched a fit, got all upset, started getting, you know, head down, shoulders dragging, all of that. And he didn't let it bother him. And he kept coming back and going back to these guys. And it's just mature beyond his years and just a great pocket presence. Set in there against some blitzes and just delivered on third and fourth down just time after time again in that second half where it was really needed to put yourself up, you know, to that 2-3 score limit.
It'll be interesting to see how people vote for the all ACC team, because like you mentioned, I think Sam Howell is playing at a superior level to a guy like Trevor Lawrence. And the only other person who's kind of in that conversation for best quarterback in the ACC is Newman from Wake Forest. And one of the biggest keys for Howell's success lately has been the offensive line and how they've progressed the past two games. It's a position that got a large share of the blame in Carolina's two losses, and you know, rightfully so, but they've really turned it around the past two games, protecting Sam Howell and opening up some running lanes for this offense.
Yeah, I think it's way too early to talk about all ACC, so I'll just leave that at that, but agreed. There's something about having Heck back that's kind of given a little bit of just a relaxation or what you will over the offensive line to have your anchor and your senior leader in there that's just made a world of difference. And really wish he would have been able to play in that App State game, because I really think that if we'd have blocked like we have the last 2 weeks, you know, we'd be sitting here a lot better. But, you know, it is what it is. We're 3-3, and our quarterback's going to keep us in every game. And on the flip side of that, you know, the injuries are mind-boggling in the defensive secondary. I've never seen anything like it. Last year was tough for sure, but just to have, you know, this many injuries on in one position is going to make it really tough. And I think we saw glimpses of that in the second half. And I think we have to be realistic, Taylor, that it's going to be hard to get to bowl eligible with a couple walk-ons back there. But, you know, a guy like Sam Howell can surely, you know, there might be some shootouts. We might have to have a couple shootouts to get to bowl eligible. But I just can't believe that the injuries we've had in that secondary, a couple ACLs, broken feet, a broken arm. I mean, it's like a broken arm that keeps you out for the year. I mean, we're not having, you know, sprained thumbs and sprained ankles and a separated, you know, shoulder 2 to 3 weeks stuff. We're having season-ending breaks, season-ending ACLs, and I'm just baffled about how it's happened. And it's tough because it feels like we definitely are cursed with the momentum we have in the program to be struck down like injuries like that and in a particularly vulnerable spot. So I really got to keep an eye on that through the open week and going forward. And our fans have to understand how tough it's going to be defending the pass. And it's going to have to start up front. And those guys up front are really going to have to apply pressure. And we may have to do some things schematically to protect some of these younger guys that are going to have to step up roles in the defensive secondary.
One of the things that you had mentioned earlier that we'll get back to now, one of the biggest problems for Carolina in the Georgia Tech game, drops from your wide receivers. I think they had 5 drops. They left a ton of points on the board with drops from wide receivers in that first half. Dyami Brown and Daz Newsome, they're 1 and 2 respectively in the ACC with the most drops. What do you think has led to that, and how do you correct that midseason, if possible?
I don't know. I haven't talked to Lonnie. I know Lonnie's just pulling his hair out, but it's a concentration thing because the minute, you know, they drop a touchdown pass in their hands that's normally a seriously easy catch or, a 3rd and 6 where they get to 8 yards and the ball's right in their hands and they drop that, but you flip it to the other side and it's 4th and 7. They run a perfect route, great coverage, and they go up and grab the ball. And then you run a corner route, you know, in the end zone. It wasn't a corner route. It was just a go. Perfect pass. They go up and make a catch, get 1 foot down in bounds, score a touchdown, put you back up by 3 scores. So that's something that just shows, I think it shows immaturity. You know, right now, you got to treat every ball like it's a 4th and 7 ball. You got to treat every ball like it's a 3rd and 9 ball. And the ones that are the easiest are the ones you generally relax and just say, oh, man, I've already got a touchdown. You're already thinking about your celebration. And I think that'll come with maturity, and I think that'll come with a lot of jugs machines over the bye week from Coach Galloway.
All right, I just wanted to take a quick break to talk to you about Johnny T-Shirt. Family and alumni owned and operated since 1983, Johnny T-Shirt is your go-to for everything Carolina. They've got your Carolina football shirts, your Carolina football jerseys, your hats, your visors, your tailgating supplies. You want it, they've got it. You could visit them on Franklin Street or go online to johnnytshirt.com. And don't forget, Inside Carolina subscribers get 10% off their orders. All right, let's get back to the Deems interview. Javonte Williams, he had 106 of his career high, 144 yards, coming after contact. He's becoming one of my favorite players to watch with his style of play and just how tough he is to bring down. Do you kind of see him separating himself from the trio of running backs as to he should become the feature back, or do you still like how they're using a mixture of Michael Carter and Javonte Williams?
I know I like mixtures. I don't know how you really define that. He was obviously the best back Saturday. He had the most yards. I don't know about how you can do feature. What does feature mean? Does it mean that we're going to, you know, turn around, throw it to him 40? I mean, turn around, pitch it to him 40 times. I don't know how his pass block and how his blitz pickup figures into it. I don't know how his route running figures into it. But right now, he's definitely running the hardest and the lowest and breaking the most tackles. And then on the flip side of that, you know, Michael Carter's been getting a lot of snaps as well. And you can't run a running back into the ground like Alabama does, or, you know, and they get to the NFL and you never hear from them again because they run them 45 times, or LSU does, with the exception of Fournette. You know, you got to kind of keep them like maybe Georgia does, and you keep rotating them in, and these guys, you end up hearing about them again because they're not beaten up. So I think if you're going to attract the elite running backs, you don't say you come in here and you're going to be the feature. You say you're going to come in here and you're going to play and win games, and you're going to have an NFL career, and you're going to have some legs under you when you get to the NFL.
Yeah, they're splitting carries right now. Michael Carter and Javonte Williams, they both had 20 carries. And I think what Michael Carter does really well is catch the ball out of the backfield. He's basically like another receiver out there. And I think it's a situation where if you're only putting him in on passing downs and you're kind of tipping off your hand to the defense saying, you know, we're trying to sneak a pass by you. And it's not like he's doing bad running the ball. He's having a great season in his own right. It's just Javonte Williams kind of playing at another level right now, seeing holes and hitting them before they close.
Yeah, I tell you, Javonte's going to be the 4-minute back for sure. If we get back into a point where we were like last Saturday in the fourth quarter, and the 4-minute running back you want is going to be Javonte, where he's going to get a couple yards after contact. He may break one like he did at the end of the game, and this is when you want to spread the line out and run downhill and just keep pounding away, and he'll be the guy for that. But during the game, you know, this is an air raid offense. I mean, like it or not, it's an air raid offense, and they like to throw those swing passes, and they like to do different things out the little tunnel screens, and they like to get the ball out in space. And right now, obviously, Longo sees something in Carter during those types of play calls that he likes, and you got to have all three of these guys before the year's out. I mean, we had a quarterback come in, you know, for a running play. They tried to do that, and he's out for 6 weeks. You know, I mean, you never know with this team who's going to go down next. So you got to have everybody ready, and the more depth you have, the more longevity you're going to have, you know, at that position.
Yeah, I agree with your point that you first made about Javonte Williams being the 4-minute back to close out games, because when you're a defense and you're worn out, Javonte Williams is probably one of the last running backs you want to face, with him just looking to try to punish you every time you come to make tackles. But speaking of favorite players, your guy, Chaz Surratt, he had one of his best games, again leading the team with 12 tackles. And impressively, for how long he was out there and how many snaps he played, he had no missed tackles. And this was a point I made in my postgame video. We can no longer say, you know, Chaz Surratt, he's playing great for a former quarterback, because it's doing a huge disservice to how well he's playing. He's just playing great football right now.
Yeah, I tell you, I've said it every week, and I said it when you first started seeing some glimpses of it in the South Carolina game, and I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, I mean, when he closed in and broke up a pass on Feaster, who's a really good running back, and I was like, wait a minute, this might work out. And I said, wait till he learns how to tackle. Well, he had 12 of them Saturday, and you know, in game six, and a lot of those were solo. And you'd see some guys, you know, try to high tackle, around the head, and the running backs were bouncing off, and then lo and behold, there's 21 wrapping and rolling. So He's my favorite on this team by far, just because of how quick he's gotten better, how much spark he's given us, and his closing speed and the way he's adapted to a new position.
One of the reasons things are opening up for Surratt is because of the attention Jason Strowbridge, Aaron Crawford, Tamon Fox are getting. When those three are all healthy and on the field together, they take this defense to a whole nother level.
Yeah, I tell you that we keep talking about the need for the bye week and just the injury bug in the secondary. But, you know, I'm knocking on wood as I'm talking. This is one right here that these three up front and the other guys that are rotating in, they need this bad. And this should be really rejuvenating. And we're going to have to get some pressure in the second half of this season to give some of these young DBs that are going to be in there. We've got to give them some help. And it's going to start up there. And I tell you, I thought Crawford moved laterally as good as I've seen him Saturday. And they did a lot of stretch plays, and he had gap contained the whole way. And he was ripping through and getting penetration and establishing the line of scrimmage back in their backfield. And Strowbridge is going to demand the double team. And he makes guys jump off sides, whether they're home or away. So, agreed. We get penetration up there, and we let Chaz and Gimel run side to side and get inside out and tackle. Maybe we can sneak this thing out. Maybe we can find a way to compete in the Coastal, because we're getting some pressure on them and we're not having to cover, you know, extended lengths of time. So that'll be the goal in the second half, is to get the D-line healthy and get them upfield and making these quarterbacks get the ball out of their hand quick to protect some of these injuries we have in the secondary.
Yeah, I had mentioned it in my post-game video between Strowbridge, Crawford, Fox, and Alan Cater. When you could get pressure with your front four, it allows Jay Bateman to get pretty creative with, you know, his packages and where he's sending pressure from. And one of the most dangerous things you could have is Jay Bateman getting creative with his calls.
Yeah, and I tell you, and if you get back to the place where we're going to be in a couple of years, where you can get pressure with your front four, and you don't have to bring pressure. You've got people. You've got seven dropped. There's the windows are going to be tight all over, and you've got big, tall corners, and you've got safeties that'll come up and hit you, and you got linebackers covering inside out. It's going to be fun to watch, because you won't have to be really cute. You won't have to bring a lot of pressure. If you can get pressure with 4-on-5 up front, and even sometimes make a running back chip on the way out because your ends are getting upfield so well, or your outside backers, or however you're going to do it from an odd or even man front, that's even better than dialing up good blitz packages. And that's where we're headed, where we can start rotating those guys and getting pressure with four and putting seven in zone coverage back there and mixing it up with man every once in a while and then start getting some turnovers.
All right, let's take one quick break for a word from our sponsors.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Okay, we're back. Now, you had mentioned this before, but I wanted to go a little more in depth. Patrice Rene, out. Miles Wolfolk, out. Cam Kelly, out. And now you add Trey Morrison to the list of players who will miss significant time in the secondary or just out for the year completely. If you're Dre Bly, how do you handle the defensive backs with one guy after another going down at the position? I know you said fans should have to reel back their expectations for the secondary for how young they're being, but you know the games are still going to have to be played whether Carolina is confident with the guys they have or not. So if you're Dre Bly, how do you try to instill confidence in your younger guys as fast as you can?
That's a question I don't know how to answer. Because I've never coached defense and I haven't played defense at all. Even before, I didn't even play defense in high school. So if you do it from just a macro football level, you've got to believe in yourself. You've got to get in the film room, and you've got to be staying after practice, before and after practice. And I think where you can make up for lack of talent better, and I know this firsthand because I wasn't that talented, but I was able to play in the NFL because I studied so much film, and you can learn so much from alignments, and you can learn so much from tendencies. And if you get in that film room now, there's no excuse for not – the tape is out there. Every team we're playing from now on has, what, 4, 5, 6 games on tape. The more you watch, the more you can study these receivers, and the more you can study these tight ends, and what do they do when they break, and do they take a bigger split on this play when they're going out or when they're going in, and they take a lesser split when they're going out. Where can you go? Where can you find tendencies? And I think the best thing that you can do as a player that's maybe a walk-on or just not ready to play is protect them with a safety over top. And again, you may have to dial up some blitzes. But number one, man, if you can get our strength on the defense, which is our front four, get them upfield and get pressure on the quarterback and make those windows tighten up and make these kids not have to cover for as long, maybe we can get lucky and maybe we can get some good play out of them.
Yeah, we'll see how that position group does going forward. I think Storm Duck has played pretty well this year. Greg Ross has been significantly better from last year to this year. Don Chapman had the interception against Georgia Tech, so now he should be playing with a little more confidence when he's holding up that turnover belt. But now you have certain players have played a lot of reps, banged up from the normal wear of a season. How critical is this bye week right now for UNC with a very important stretch of conference games coming up?
Yeah, that's a layup. It's just, it could have probably come in a little earlier, would have been better. But the later you can get your bye, and the more you need it. I mean, that's just how it is. And then by the end of the year, hopefully, we'll be a little bit fresher than the guys that had their byes this week or last week. But everybody needs one. I don't think there's been a team, and I'm just guessing, but I haven't watched too much. But I don't know if there's been any team in the country that's had to do as much as this team has had to do for four quarters out of the first six games, with five of them coming down to the last play of the game. I just doubt there's anybody that's had to be that physically and emotionally invested in the game. And when that happens, there's always a good time to get away from it.
I know I'm physically and mentally exhausted watching the game, so I can't even imagine what the players are like in that locker room. But Carolina is off this week, and then the Tar Heels will return to action the 19th at Virginia Tech. Deems, good talking to you. We'll catch up next week to preview that game.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.